Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. If you want to have a trusting, loving, and honest relationship with your mother or daughter, you're in the right place. I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, a Christian clinical psychologist and ordained chaplain, better known as Dr. Bessie. My co-host and I will share God's expectation of a mother and daughter relationship to help you with your healing process towards your best mother and daughter relationship according to the Word of God. So sit back with your pen and paper or recorder because we are coming after your heart.
Good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with mothers and daughters around the world. Yes, sitting in with mothers and daughters around the world. Interesting. Oh, gosh, we've been saying that for so long, and reality always kick in. Somebody will come on from Australia, Japan, Vietnam. Just, and when I look sometimes and see the people that have actually, and I can't, and I have to say people because I can't identify if they are mothers and daughters or who, but at least they're listening, and I'm pretty sure a lot of them are mothers and daughters, but then we have a lot of gentlemen too that listen to the show. But it's amazing when I see the different countries that actually sit and listen to the show. And I don't say a lot about it because, you know, it's not about a bragging point or anything like that. It's about getting the Word of God out. And it's not about me. It's about Him. So, but I will, you know, every once in a while, look and see and say, wow, look at this. The Word of God is getting out. And we don't have to go and boast and flaunt and do all kinds of things. Just do the work and Holy Spirit will take the Word wherever you want it to go. So good morning. I appreciate you coming in and joining us. And like I say, sometimes it's morning here and it's afternoon somewhere else and it's midnight someplace else. I have friends that are 13 and a half hours away from me. So when I'm calling and talking to them, I have to remind myself, my morning is their night. Their night is my morning. So good morning, wherever you are, and welcome. Let me bring in my co-host with me this morning. Let's see here. There we go. Get that.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Dr. Fletcher. Good morning, audience.
Good morning. Our co-host this morning is Dr. Oliver. Dr. Cynthia, I guess is what we'd be calling her. Yeah, so how are you doing? I hear you giggling. You're like, yeah, that's right.
That's right. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that, audience. I crossed that finish line a couple of weeks ago, and so I am now Dr. Oliver, and so I giggle because I'm just trying to get used to it. I've waited for a long time, 8 years, through this process, and we're here. It's a new beginning, and it's still new to me. It's still new to me.
All right. Yeah, the Lord knows you paid the price for it. You need to get a refund. Another show for another day.
Yeah.
Got the Oliver and the refund. But anyway.
Yes.
Lord, how was your week last week?
You know, let's start with prayer, and then I'll tell you how my week was. How about that?
Okay. That's good enough.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you as humblest. We know how. Thanking you, God, for this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so glad that you chose Dr. Fletcher and myself and Deborah and Dr. Bell and our whole team to be part of this ministry. I'm glad that we have said yes to you and your word. I'm glad that we have accepted our Lord and Savior as our Savior. So, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debt as we forgive those who owe us. Forgive us, Father God. Thank you that everything that you do is all about you. We thank you, Father God. We ask that you protect us from evil. And Father God, we know that evil is as present as you are. And so, Father God, we come thanking you for your protection every day. Thanking you for the heart and mind to stay the course. Thanking you, Father God, for this radio show and the message is getting out. And we're thinking that lives are being touched and people are, we're giving people something to think about, to chew on, to meditate on, and to hopefully want a relationship with you, Father God, our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit. But Father God, we know that we cannot do this world well without the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in Jesus' lives, in Jesus in us. And so we thank you for sending your one and only Son that we may have a chance at the tree of life and have it more abundantly. And so with that, Father God, we say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray that the words be acceptable in thy sight today and in this our ear. Let them hear. And you have said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Be open to the word, audience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And with that, my week was awesome. I am here in Tallahassee. I travel back and forth between Tallahassee and Leesburg, Georgia, so much. This is my second home. And so I am here. We're going to give a shout-out to my bestie that's here in Tallahassee. She turns 83 today, and she is as fabulous as she is and look as fabulous. She moves like she's 53. But she is just like, she's such a blessing in my life. I didn't want to move here to Tallahassee, but I have met some amazing people moving here. And she is one of those people. And so I just want to give her a shout out. Happy birthday, Fifi. And so with that, my week was good. It was productive. I've been here since Wednesday. And, you know, we're doing the girly stuff. And we're cooking and we're talking and we're just enjoying the company. And it is something about coming together, cooking together, thanking God together, and just when I read that in the Bible, that food, drink, and hard work is a gift from God, I do it every time, as often as I can. And so my week has been amazing. We're getting ready for her party tonight, and so we are just cooking up a storm. Thank you for asking. And how was your week?
Well, before I say my week, happy birthday to Cece. Is it Cece? Phoebe.
Phoebe,
okay. Because we got a Phoebe, we got a Cece.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, is she Phoebe or Cece? Because when you say it so fast, and Lord knows I should know it because I've heard it so many times. But every time I want to hear Cece, and it's Phoebe. Yes, happy birthday to her. Is she there?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, she is right here. Let me just let you say happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Go ahead, Dr. Fletcher.
Yes. Fifi, happy birthday to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I am wonderful. I just want to praise
God for
you this morning. And I mean,
Thank you.
We've never physically met, but we've met spiritually, and we've met through Cynthia, which is our connector, and I know she keeps talking about how you're 5383, so you know what I'm saying? That's
yes,
the life.
Ma'am.
That means you are serving God, because you have to faith and to believe that what God said is true. You have.
That's right.
What
He's brought
you
me this
say.
Far. He's brought me 83 good years this far in good health.
Yeah, and
so
you
I've got a lot to be thankful for, and I thank Him every day.
Amen. Amen. Well, you have a wonderful birthday party this afternoon tonight.
Thank
and
you.
I know
I wish you were here.
I know. I wish I was there too.
Next year, maybe.
Next year
to be
I'll
in New
it.
Jersey.
I will. our plan to come to New Jersey, because I know Cynthia want to come. We'll just come together.
Yep.
Is that fair?
You're
all
right.
All right. You have a blessed day.
You have a blessed day.
Thank you.
So we just gave Fifi a shout out on the radio.
Yeah, that's it. Tell her with mothers and daughters around the world. That's
with
what
mothers
do.
And daughters around the world, you got a shout out.
Thank you.
Yes.
Dr. Fletcher, I am back.
Okay, yes. So, you know, my week was absolutely wonderful. A lot of hard work, but we got some things, some major things accomplished. And I, you know, last night when I got off, I just decided the last conversation I had was about 7:30. I said, I'm done. I am so done. I'm cleaning off my computer. And I looked up this morning, and as I'm getting ready for the show, I looked up, the sun is out. I said, you know what? I'm going to wash my car. And I'm going to take my car, and I'm going to take the top down, and I'm going driving. I don't care if it's 0 degrees out there. It looks like it might be 80 degrees, but I know it's not. I know it's not 80 degrees out there. But I'm going to wash my car. I'm going to put my top back, and I'm going driving. I don't even know where I'm going. But this is what I'm doing today. I might end up down there with y'all tonight. You just
never come on there. Come on there.
I might know what I might do. Because I am feeling something. Like, good Lord, it's time for me to do something. But anyway, that is a good week. God is so good. Miraculous things are happening. And Deborah's not with us this morning. Deborah had a meeting this morning. You know, we are getting so busy in so many different ways that God has got us going here, going there. And 24 is a year. He's going to use us. He's going to stretch us out, and he's going to bless us and multiply us. So get ready. So this morning,
Amen.
Cynthia, our topic is learn how to restore your mother and daughter relationship. And so what I'm going to do is that I'm going to see what the Holy Spirit wants to say, and then I'll come back and pick you up.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, mothers and daughters, fathers and sons out there around the world, I'm telling you, whatever you were waiting on, whatever it was that you have asked God for, and you've been believing and waiting, I want you to say right now, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then you put whatever is behind there that you shall not want. Because, see, he's telling us the not. See, it's all in the not. I shall not want. You shall not have any other gods before me. That not is very important. Do some research on the not. Do some research on the I am. But I'm telling you, he's your shepherd. And if he's not your shepherd, you may say, well, Dr. Fletcher, what do you mean Jesus is my shepherd? Then that means that you need to be saved. You need to accept him as your shepherd. And what does that mean? Is that you're just going to simply go to God and ask God to forgive you for any sins or any mistakes that you made? Repent, and then make a vow with him. I promise you not to do those things anymore. And then you move forward. Doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. But then that's why he said, I gave you a Savior. And that's what Jesus came in for. Jesus is the person between you and God that you could go and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I made a mistake. Please forgive me. And he said, when you repent, I forgive you and I forget about it. But the hard part is, can you forget about it? Can you forget about it? You beat yourself up and God ain't even know what you're doing. He don't even know what you're talking about. He just said, I forgive you and I forget about it. I remember it no more. That's what he said. I remember it no more. But we want to hold on to it. So that's a word for everybody today, for 2024. believe that all that you've been waiting on, this is, we ended up the year 23, that was year 7, that's completion, and the year 8 is 24. And 24 is new beginnings. Whatever you want, been waiting on, hold on to your faith. Don't give up. Hold on to it because it's happening in 24. Now, you look at Cynthia, 8 years working on her. Well, Dr. Oliver, I got, you know, I'm so used to it. I've been known for 15 years, so I know I said this, so don't think I'm being disrespectful. It just rolls out of my mouth. And so, she can't get used to it. I can't get used to it either, but we're getting used to it, you know. It's been a couple of weeks. But 8 years, and she believed God. And I told her, I said, it's going to be your testimony. And that testimony is going to help somebody else, going to help you. If you've been believing God, don't stop believing God. What else you got to do? Just believe God. Because one day it's going to roll into the other if he give it to you. And I know I'm in 25 years with Mothers and Daughters. I had ideas and dreams and plans. And God was telling me things. And it seemed like it never was going to happen. And in 2011, he gave me the plan that we're working out of now. So do you see, you just got to wait 9 years before he spoke to me again about that. In 2020 and 2022, it was manifest, part of it. The first part was manifest. That's 11 years. But see, we're looking at 11 years our time, and 11 years to God is a blink of an eye. So that's why he said your time is not my time. He tell us. So stop tripping. He didn't say that now, but I'm just putting that in there. Stop tripping. You're looking at what man is saying is your time. And my time as you asked, I've done it. And time as I've done it, you received it. But man's time, earthly time, it seems like it's years and years and years and years and years. So, I don't know. The Holy Spirit has put that on my heart. Whoever's listening, just know that we are witnesses to witness, to tell you and to show you, if you just trust and believe God, everything that you ask him, he's going to do it. But the one thing I want to say, don't think you can just cheat, steal, treat people wrong, and you're going to get blessed. You're not going to get your full blessing. Now, you say, I'm saving. But yeah, if you're doing something and you know you, especially if you're trying to harm someone else, you can't get your full blessing. You better be glad he gave you grace. Because God is known to say, you know what, boom, sleep. So you better be glad he's giving you grace. Go repent, get rid of that stuff, and then do better. And then receive all the blessings. We're the ones that hold up our blessings, but yet we blame God. But that's not our topic today, but that's what the Holy Spirit wanted. Somebody needed to hear that. I need to have a reminder of that, because Dr. Oliver and I come on, we don't just come on here preaching to you. We're preaching to ourselves and Deborah, because God is talking. We're the ones that's getting the lesson. The message is coming out of us. So I always say I'm the student, and I share the lessons that the Holy Spirit teach me with the audience. So with that being said, we're going to go into our topic, learn how to restore your mother and daughter relationship. Learn how to restore it. First thing you have to do is realize that it needs to be restored. See, that's, as a Christian clinical psychologist, that I specialize in mother and daughter relationships. Now, that's what I've been doing for 25 years this year, working with mothers and daughters. And the television and the radio programs that we have allow me to reach mothers and daughters around the world. That's why I truly can say mothers and daughters around the world. And then we have a mother and daughter magazine that It's internet-based, and it's out there. People are looking at it, reading it. And then we have the Mother and Daughter Bible College, which is going to be expanded in advertisement this year to reach its capacity, and it's growing. And then we have the Mother and Daughter Matriarch Now community, which is an online community which is reaching people around the world. When I say all of that, we are here for one reason and one reason only, is to help you have the best mother and daughter relationship you humanly possibly can have. Now, when God asked me to work with mothers and daughters, I thought I had found my niche. I was in corporate training, came out of banking, came out of education director for the Urban League, and I was working for myself and corporate trainer. And that's what I thought was going to be mine. That was it. It was working well for me. And I was like happy. But when God pulled on my left ear and reminded me that I asked him to help me to achieve some things and I would let him use me, he reminded me, remember what you said? And I'm riding along. Okay. Yeah. And he says, I want you to go to public housing. I want you to go to public housing. I said, public housing for what? Lord, I'm a corporate trainer. It wasn't 2 days later, someone called me to come help two ladies start a business that was residents in public housing. And that went on for years. And God blessed me in a way that I couldn't even imagine simply because I was obedient. And you said, well, what has that got to do with learning how to restore your mother and daughter relationship? It has to do with obedience. See, if you know the word of God, if you go in, or if you just go to matriarchnow.com and go to the store, matriarchnow.com, matriarchnow.com, go to store, download the book, Good News, God Speaks to Mothers and Daughters. That is the beginning. I'm going to be teaching that class. And hopefully I'll be teaching that class starting in March, no later than the 1st of May. And what it does, it teaches you what God has said about mother and daughter relationships. You know, many times people say, well, if he just gave us a book, he just, you know, gave us these humans and say, raise them, and we don't even know what to do. No, you don't know what to do. You got that right. But you got the creator. You got the person who created you, who produced the human through you. Then why won't you go to him and ask God, what do you want me to do with this human? How do I raise this human? But no, we want to listen to other people. We want to listen to what they say on television, some radio program. One day you can do this with the children. The next day they can't eat that. The next day you can't wear this. You know, what did God say? So first of all, you have to recognize what you're dealing with. And then look at what's the weak spot. The weak spot in raising that baby is that you, and it's your first baby, you've never had a baby before. No one can tell you about that baby but God. I don't care how many babies another woman have had. That's not your baby. That's not your baby. That baby didn't come out of you. That's a different connection. So to learn how to restore your mother and daughter relationship, you got to go back to that moment when you recaptured, when you first look in her eyes to recapture that moment when the doctor put her in your arms and you looked, and all of a sudden you forget all the pain. The pain is gone. It's like what God say, when you repent, I forget it, remember it no more. And that's what we do. Once we have these children, when that doctor, you done labored and pained and whipped you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, your back is about out, and your voice is about gone, and you done just about curse everybody you can think of, you forget all of that. It's amazing to me. I just always said it is amazing how you can just forget it in seconds, and that baby's in your arm, and it's like it never happened. It just floats on by. Float, float, float on. I know, that's a song. Just came right through my head. But that's what it did. It floats right on by. And I'll tell you how you don't remember it. Why you don't? Because how many mothers in about 10 months, they're pregnant again? 2 years, they're pregnant again? 3 years, they're pregnant again? Now, I'm not trying to be selfish, but I held to that memory. I made myself remember. I was like, I do not want to do this again, Lord. That was interesting. But when I look at my daughter, I can reflect back from the time that they put her in my arms. That's that bonding. And they put the baby in your left arm so the baby will lay over your heart. That is so that that baby heart can feel your heart, because the baby's been inside of you and you all been dancing to the same beat, dancing to the same beat. So now she's in the world. Now, oh my God, that's why she's crying, because she's like, wait a minute, I'm leaving my heartbeat. I'm getting farther and farther from my heartbeat. Where am I going? Oh, come on, y'all. But the minute she's this spanker and she's crying, like, what in the world? But when they put her in your arms and her heart connects to your heart, she remembers, oh, okay, I'm safe. And that's what you got to do when you want to restore those relationships. You got to go back. You got to go back. You got to look her in her eyes. You got to hold her. That's why hugs are so important. And don't hug with your daughter right side to your left. Hug with your daughter heart to your heart. And do that for a second or so. I say, if you do that for 30 seconds, you will reconnect to your daughter, because, see, her heart has been separated from your heart for so long. Everybody just running around doing what they want to do. And then when you hug, you're hugging heart to shoulder. Heart to shoulder. Everybody hugs, you know, just like that. But if you move over just a little bit and put your heart to your daughter's heart, or your son's heart, and hold it there for a while, that will rekindle your relationship in a way that you can't even imagine. That's what we call the heart connection. That's the heart connection. It's an energy that flows from your heart that connects to another heart. And if you're having problems with your husband or your wife, put your heart to her heart when you hug. Focus on that and see what happens. Now, that's a word from the Holy Spirit, the heart connection. People hear me say, if you go on our television show, which is going to be Roku Network, and we've rebuilt and started our own network, which is going to be, I got a thing from Roku saying it should be up, and I want to do like a house party on Wednesday. We're going to tell you about it. And on Wednesday, you can go to Roku and actually Mother and Daughter Television, and I'm telling you, you're going to see the things that we do to help mothers and daughters. But I do say, welcome to my mother, my daughter, the heart connection. So that's what I mean when I say the heart connection, from my heart to your heart. And we can do that for mothers and daughters, the heart connection around the world. And can you imagine a shift? Once you learn those basic principles, now all you got to do is apply those to your daughter. And that's going to improve your relationship immediately. Hugs are important. When you bring somebody into your energy field, things change. And then let me show you how that works. Now, say, for instance, if it's somebody that you don't feel comfortable with, and they come too close to you, you back up. Because it's like two magnets coming together that can bounce off each other. Two magnets come together and bounce back. Excuse me. Because they can't connect. And some people, when they come around you, their energy just cannot connect to your energy. You'll say to yourself, I don't know what it is about that person, but I just don't feel comfortable around them. Your hearts are so far apart. You're living in two different worlds. That's all it means. Your heart cannot connect to their heart energy. But when you bring your child into that energy force that's close to you, you can feel it. That's why when most, especially those boys, they come in, hey, Ma, and they're going to come right over there, and they're going to hug you because that what? That gives them that energy. They don't realize they get a charge. It's like a battery charge. You get into it, and you hug your mama, and, you know, you hug them coming in, you hug them going out, and you're like, yeah, I hug my mama. They don't even know why they're doing it. They just know it feels good. It just energizes them. Same thing with a daughter. When you come in, when I hug my daughter, it just makes me feel so good. I just like, it's just like, pew, like a boost of energy all of a sudden. You know it. You feel it. You just didn't recognize that it was a charge. And we need those charges. But then how do we reconnect and restore that relationship? Is that we got to look into the eyes. We got to look into the eyes of our daughters. We got to look into their eyes. You got to hold their hands and look into their eyes. And oh, it feels so uncomfortable because she hadn't done it probably since she was a little baby, 2 or 3 years old, when you got on your knees and looked down or stooped down and say, do you understand what mommy's saying? And she says, yes. You look in her eyes because you want to know that she understands. When's the last time you look into your daughter's eyes when you're talking to her? When you're actually looking, I'm not talking about looking at her hair, looking at the makeup, and looking at her earrings and saying, girl, what in the world? What kind of hairstyle is that? Well, where'd you get those earrings from? Oh, that lipstick sure is purple. Okay, what in, you know, don't do that. Look into her eyes and in your heart say, I love you. I love you. I love you. How can I help you? See, you can just look in her eyes and say all kinds of stuff, and she will get it. She will get it. And what you're doing, you're training her how to restore her relationship with her children. See, it's about your grandchildren. When you and your daughter has a relationship, and you say, well, I can't get along with that girl, something's wrong, you need to fix it. You need to fix it. Because if that daughter has a daughter or a son, you're going to want to be in that child's life. And the worst thing you want to hear is that, no. You, well, can I keep the baby? Mm-mm, no. I know somebody right now. The daughter, no, you can't keep the baby. You messed me up. I'm not going to let you mess my baby up. And you're missing out on the most precious time with another level of love that nobody can explain. Nobody can explain it. I have grandsons, and I have a great-grandson. And I tell you, it elevates on the next grand. It elevates I can only imagine my grandmother had 123 grandchildren, great-grand, great-great-grand, and great-great-grand. I don't know how far. And you want to say, well, how did she have, how do you know she had? Because one thing about my grandmother, she kept a diary. And every time a child was born, she put their name and their date, the parent name, all that was in a book. She knew all of her descendants. And I was like amazed. She had 12 children. But she made room for each one of us. For each one of us. And I remember, and I'm the oldest grand, so you know where they fall. And I would say to her, I said, Grandma, how in the world you can, you know, because we're all over there and different ones coming at different times. And how do you keep up all these personalities? She says, I only deal with the one I'm with at that time. I'll try to look at all of them. I'm dealing, if this one's in front of me, that's the one I'm dealing with. That's the love I experienced with that one. And she had a way of doing that. And I'm telling you, as we grew up, my grandmother was basically on a fixed income, but she gave everybody a gift for Christmas. You think that you got 15 people you need to buy for? My grandmother had a host of people that she bought for Christmas. And I used, and people said, well, how in the world? She's on a fixed income and she did all that. She would buy a pack of socks that would have 12 in it. And then she would divide them up, 12 people, or 24 people, whatever the man is. So that's how many pairs of socks she would buy. Or she would buy handkerchiefs for some of the ladies. Or she would buy, I used to get, she said, which one you want? I said, well, I like the potholders with the handles and the little mitten kind of thing. Every year, that's what I got. And one year, she decided to change it up, and I was so disappointed. I said, Grandma, why'd you change it up? Because I don't buy this. I use yours all year long because I know I'm going to get another one. She said, really, baby? I said, yeah. I said, don't change it up. And to this day, my daughter still have some of those things. They're tethered on the inside and raggedy on the edges, but she remembered that came from her great-grandmother. So I'm saying to you, find a way that you can connect with your daughter or your children so that they will remember you and that you will know how to restore that relationship because you have built in mechanism that you can get their attention. I love my mittens. And I would, when I put them on, every time I think about my grandmother. As I'm cooking, I'm thinking about my grandmother. And don't you know, every time those men put the socks on, yeah, these are socks Mama gave me. You see, that's how you restore. Just plant the seeds and they'll grow. That's why we have the mother and daughter bonded bathrobes and line of products. Because we got that heart over on the left side of the bathrobe. And when you put your mother and daughter name there, every time you go in that bathroom, it will remind you of your mother. Every time you put that robe on, you're going to see your name and your mother. And that's how you restore that relationship. That's how you keep it alive. Don't just take it and put it in the closet. People go buy a robe, but don't have no meaning to it, and take that one and put it in the closet. No, wear it. Wear it out and then buy another one. It's the heart connection. It's the heart connection. So that's my message to you. Let me bring Dr. Oliver back.
Good.
Hello,
Dr. B. I'm here. I am here. You know, the first things first, you know, relationships are very complex. And mothers and daughters, when There's three things that goes on when there's a disconnect between mothers and daughters and why they can't be restored. There's a lot of shame. The mother has continued in a tradition that was handed down to her generationally. And I'm going to break both of these three down. And moms oftentimes forget that she's been where her daughter is. And if we mothers can just put ourselves in our daughter's shoes, our children's shoes, to remind ourselves, I've been there. But you have to have gotten the help you need so you can understand that you have kept this vicious cycle of not connecting and not dialoguing and not communicating with your daughter. Because broken people raise broken children. Broken mothers raise broken children. And so the first thing mothers need to do is understand that you are 100% responsible for seeking help for your own woes. Because if you don't get help for your woes, you will never be able to be emotionally available for your daughter. And so you keep that generational mold going of not communicating, not being able to meet their needs because you've never got your needs met. Therefore, not acknowledging your own needs make you ill-prepared to effectively meet your daughter's needs. Broken mothers never learn to connect or get their own needs met. It's out of fear. It's out of unspoken desires. It's out of unhealthy patterns. And it's simply one thing that has created all of this. You have failed to get the help that you need so you can be emotionally available for your daughter. She was given to you. So some mothers will never go and get the help. So then it kind of switches up, and the daughter is tired of being in this type of relationship, so she'll go and get help. That was my case. I was taking psychology courses. Even when I was going to school to be an x-ray tech, I was always interested in why I was so unhappy in my life. I could never remember being happy a day in my childhood. I could never understand why I was so miserable. I had a great job in my early 20s. From 21, I was living on South Beach, but I was so miserable. And so I always had that desire to figure out why I was so broken. And at that time, I didn't have a relationship with my mother. I didn't have a relationship with my mother until my 40s. But I was always so broken, and I didn't know why. And then it came to the time when I started having children. And so I know I needed to fix me before I can be the best mother I can be to them. And I have boys. I don't have any daughters. But I needed to be fixed. I needed to fix what was broken in me in order that I can be emotionally available to my children. And even though I wasn't raised by my mother, I had met my mother, and I had been around her several times throughout the years. And my mother was very cold. She was very distant. Even though I wasn't raised by her, I was cold and distant with my children when I had them. I've always been a lover of people, but I could not love my children the way I needed to love my children. I was a great provider from day one, but I did not have that emotional peace that I needed in order to be the best mother that I can be for them. I was cold and distant, just like my mother was when the times that I did see her. So that's that tradition that I'm talking about that I had to break. I had to break that. So I started hugging my children and telling my children how great they were, how much I loved them, how awesome they were, how handsome they were. So they grew up knowing that they were loved. I grew up not knowing that I was loved. I had a great grandmother. She did the very best she can. But my grandmother was a disciplinary. She was also a lover of people. But I can recognize now because she had her own brokenness. She had her, she didn't know how to communicate her own needs and desires because she raised her, her son, four children, and many other children. So she was always giving herself away, but never addressing her own desires and needs. Did she know how to put herself in our shoes? No, she didn't. It was what she said goes, and she didn't care how you felt about it. So she kept the broken dialogue going. You do what I say. You don't question me. And so she never even knew how to let go of her failures. Maybe she didn't think she had any failures. I don't know. All I know is when you are broken mothers, like I was broken, when I started having children, I kept the tradition going. I kept the coldness going. But it wasn't until I started to understand that I was broken, that I was able to have the relationship with my children that I desired. And it was much, they were much older by the time I figured all this out. But thank God I figured it out when I figured it out, because now I have the most amazing relationship with my sons. I know how to apologize when I need to apologize. I know how to give hugs and get my own needs met as far as being a mother, that I can be the mother that I am today. And it all started with me determining to break the traditions of being cold, of being distant, and learning how to love on people because they ain't got nothing to do with nothing that happened to me. And so that's my take on it, Dr. Fletcher. I had to learn. And you can't unlearn what you've learned, but you can learn to do better. Thanks for letting me share that.
Yeah, great. That's good stuff. Now, the thing of it is, too, you learned a lot, and I was listening. You know, your grandmother could only give you what she had. But the one thing that you took away from her that I think that you took away and do it well is the love of people. If she didn't teach you anything else, she taught you how to serve people. See, we can't get everything. See, you look and you say, well, my mom didn't give me this and my dad didn't give me this. They didn't have it in that area. You know, that you have to look at it. And if you and I can take it straight to home, is that if you look at your own life, we got some deficiencies too. And we got areas that we're not all up on. Some things we got it, and we can share that strong wisdom with our children and grandchildren, but there are some things that we don't have it in that area. And so she gave you the most important thing is how to live and how to treat people.
Amen.
How to feed people. How to take what you have and divide it in so many pieces so that everybody can get a bite.
Amen.
Now, that's who you are. And so we're going to just bless your grandmother today because
Amen. She
gave you that, and then that will take you far, and it has brought you far.
Amen.
And that's what I look at. That's the biggest thing that you and I connect on. We love people.
Amen.
We give to people. We'll give them our last. We bend over. Don't ask for nothing in return. Because we were both raised that way. Now, my mother's house, you know, my mother's house was the house. I don't care how many. She was the baby. But out of all of the sisters and brothers, we went to Sarah's house, the family. That was the matriarch. But I'm telling you, I don't care, cousins, friends out of New Jersey, New York, Florida, no one of those distant cousins and stuff like that, and friends, they would not come home without coming to Pete and Pearl's house.
Amen.
They would come in and say, you know what, I'm here, da-da-da, I'm getting ready to leave. I couldn't leave. I had to come by here. They would not ever come home without coming because they know what? it was a place, and now I understand it. I used to say, well, every time I turn around, they just come eat. Because my mother was an excellent cook. And they know she did it with love. And there was always something there to eat. And if it wasn't, she'd jump in that kitchen right quick and fix something. You know, and so
Amen.
That's where I got that from. So when
yeah.
you see me and people say, I can't believe she's serving. I cook, I fix the food, and I bring it to your table. That's the way my mother did it. And so we get those things. And I tell mothers, hold on to the things that you know that feels good and the things that don't fit with your personality. Look at how you can improve it. If you don't like it, don't feel good. But I know.
And that's that breaking tradition, Dr. Fletcher.
Huh?
That's that breaking those traditions. You know, you take what you need, discard the rest.
Right, right. Because we're still separate individuals. I'm Angie's mom, but then Angie has her own will to choose, and I've allowed her to do that. So
Amen.
It's like somebody was saying to me the other day about, you know, wanting to do a television show and talking about, you know, she's a publisher of books. And I said, well, I can't really do that because my daughter is a publisher of books. And but what I can do, I said, I'm going to put the two of y'all together. And both of you, she said, well, I don't have the experience that she has. I said, but if you put the two together, you can glean from her, she could glean from you, and that's going to be a win-win situation. Always look at how you can make it happen.
Amen.
She said, wow.
Amen.
You know, because I can't bring somebody on to be publishing books when I already got a publisher in the ministry already. So, you know, but
right.
how can they work together? And then increase. They might can grow out in a conglomerate. You know what I mean? Of a
yes,
publisher.
Absolutely.
So
that's the job of a mother and daughter relationship. You make each help each other to be better. Help each other
right.
point out the gifts, so we can foster those gifts. Because your daughter, oftentimes when we're raising our children, Dr. Fletcher, they don't know their gift, but you see the gift in them, and we
right.
are supposed to foster those gifts in our children. And so when you bring these relationships together, they go foster each other's gifts. And she's going
right.
to learn from her, and she's going to learn from her. And that's what mothers and daughters are supposed to do. We're supposed to learn from each other.
Well, that's what Angie was telling me yesterday. Angie's my daughter, audience. Angie was telling me yesterday how Steve had a couple on there, and they flip houses, and now things are going well for them. They had a TV show, and, you know, and their own line of furniture. And he was saying that his wife, you know, really was the motion behind all of that. And Steve was talking to the men, man, if y'all listen to your wives, you're going to go far. Listen to them. He said, people could criticize him and his wife. He said, but that's the woman that changed my life. She told him, we're going to cut this hair. And we're going to give you a new look. And he shot up. She redesigned him, marketed him, and put him out there. That's why Steve ain't let nobody talk about Marjorie. Because Marjorie, he know, was the one that propelled him and invested in him. And that's what we have to do. We have to invest. I invest in my daughter. Like today, I'm going over there for her to teach me something. Because I don't
Amen.
Know how to do this. And she has it. And I said, well, I'm going to come to you and let you teach me how to put the system together. And what most mothers don't want to do, they want to think I'm the mother and I know best. You don't know nothing. Because you know why? Because you don't know enough to submit yourself to your daughter. This is changing times. These kids in technology, you can't live on what you knew when you were coming up. That's a whole different part of the world that has already turned. It's like this show, as the world turns. When it turns, things change. And so you have to know that you send that child to school to be educated. You send that child to school to do what? Take the generation to the next level. then why won't you listen to them? I call Angie in a minute. Angie, you know, this is what I'm doing now. Now, what do you think? And she'll tell me. Well, Mom, I think you know how to do this. Well, I don't know. That doesn't sound good. And then, sometimes I'll be like, want to resist. And she said, see, I'm telling you, but you, I said, okay, I'm listening. You know, just in us to try to be the mama or try to be the, you know. But you still, I'll tell her, I said, well, you know, treat me like you treat your clients. Don't get offended. We're not mother and daughter in this way. Treat me like you treat your clients. What would you, then if your clients had an objection or had an idea or thought, you would listen. She said, you're right. I said, but you treat me like your mother. I want you to treat me like your client, even though we're mothers and daughters, and then give me the opportunity to make suggestions in the process as well. And that's kind of how we get through things to make it, because otherwise you could be ending up fussing and fighting about something that makes no sense, and then you're not speaking. Find a way that you can work together. And when I come, like today when I go, I'm going to shut my mouth and let her show me how to run this program, how to set it up, because I can no longer run on the energy that I'm running on now. So I'm going to go and sit there, and she's going to show me how to do it. I'm going to her house because she's on her computer, and her stuff is set up there. I'm not commanding her to come over here. She already got it on her system. And all she's going to do is sit down, put it together, and I'm good. Learn how much knowledge your daughters have. If you sit down and talk to them, they are very smart. They know things that they can show you, but you just won't listen. So, yep, there you go, Cynthia.
Amen. You know, we are real interesting people, but, you know, Proverbs 29:17 says this, discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. This verse emphasizes the importance of discipline in raising children and starting their own tradition and learning how to work together and the potential benefit it can bring to both the child and the mother. When we learn to communicate, it is in the absence of communication, not the Fletcher, that we struggle to be in relationship with each other, whether it's our children, whether it's our significant other. When you don't know how to communicate, then the system is broken. And somebody has to take the lead. And mother, I'm putting it on you today. Take the lead. Learn how to be better, because if you don't live well, you can't lead well.
Mm-hmm.
You can't lead your daughter into wellness if you are not living well. And you can't live well when you're not at rest with all your shortcomings and the fact that you didn't know. What you don't know, you don't know. But you're responsible for learning. And that's not going to stand before God when you go before judgment saying, well, I didn't know. He was like, you were responsible to learn. Thank
that's
you for
right.
letting me share that.
You're welcome. And that's it right there in a nutshell. What you don't know, you got a Savior. You got the Holy Spirit. He said, I ask the Father, I'm going to go away. This is Jesus. And then I pray to the Father that he send you another advocate, meaning that he was an advocate. I'm going now, so don't ask me nothing. He said, after I leave, don't ask me nothing. And people don't get that. Jesus said, hey, don't ask me nothing. We still asking Jesus. That's why you ain't getting what you're asking for. Go back and read your Bible. He said, don't ask me nothing, but he's going to send you another advocate. And that advocate knows all things, will be with you always. But if you need something, ask the Father in my name, and the Father will do it for you. So if things are not working in your mother and daughter relationship, ask the Father. I'll be right back.
Thank you for joining us at the Mother and Daughter Roundtable, the place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. If you would like to ask Dr. Bessie a question about your mother and daughter relationship, go to contact@matriarchnow.com. That's matriarchnow.com. May the Lord bless your mother and daughter relationship. Blessings. The Mother and Daughter Roundtable is brought to you by Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries. If you'd like to make a donation, visit matriarchnow.com.
All right, Dr. Fletcher, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Audience, we'll see you next week. Blessings.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.